Okay, amen. Good to see Brother Mike. In your honor, when we got to Texas, we went to Whataburger.
All right.
I'm not supposed to do anything with all that except not break it, probably, right? Am I from out there? Amen. Oh, okay. Okay. I'm trying. Amen. I'm glad to be here tonight.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I like being in church on Friday night.
Amen.
You know why? Because I was always somewhere on Friday night. Yeah, I wasn't a couch potato before I got saved. And, you know, the world lived for the weekend, and I'm not going to blame being a couple minutes late on traffic. I don't think you'd go for it. But here's what's going on. Friday night, man, people are out and about tonight that have worked, and they go home, and they do whatever they do, but they work hard, and they save up, and on Friday night, Saturday night, they live for the weekend.
Yeah.
Amen. And isn't it good to be able to come to a place on Friday night where, Lord willing, you're not going to do anything that tomorrow morning you will have regretted? Lest if the Lord speaks to your heart, deals with you about something, and you don't respond, you might regret that. But if that happens, get it right then. Amen. Isn't that good? We can go to the Lord anytime, anywhere. And that's what we want to set the stage for the next 10 days, a concentrated dose of godly singing, fellowship with God's people, preaching from God's word, and every one of us will come away better for it, my wife and I especially, because we need it. We're on the road, and we're in a different church every week, and we love what we do, but this is important for us as well. So thank you for the privilege, and it is good to be saved. It is good to be here tonight, and we really have looked forward to this for a long time, and I'm just looking forward to see what God's going to do.
Amen.
Take your Bible tonight and go to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. We're going to read verse 36. Acts chapter 15 and verse 36. And the Bible says this. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Amen. It's in some days after. There had been a real serious preacher's conference, I guess, in Jerusalem where they're dealing with political stuff. I know he was glad to get away from that and get back to Antioch and give a report at his local church, that's scriptural. But I'll tell you what, he's not satisfied to stay there. God had called Paul and Barnabas too, amen, to go and visit these churches, churches that they had been to, preached the word of the Lord to, on the first missionary journey. And they've come home, they've made a report, but that's a call on Paul's life, and he's ready to go again. And that's what he says. Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city. He's not talking about going on vacation. Amen. First he says our brethren. He's interested in seeing brothers in Christ, sisters in Christ, fellow believers. And it says even more specifically, in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. That's what he said. I resemble that remark. I relate to that sentiment because God's called me into evangelism. I was at home, when I say at home, Dayton, Ohio, for all the whole month of December. I was preaching in that area weekly, but I got to be at my home church. I got to be with my kids and especially my grandkids. I had a great time, and we got a house there, amen, and a couple of vehicles. We each have our own car. But even so, it just, and she's got the same itch I've got, it comes to a place where we know we're supposed to get in that Winnebago and get back on the road and share that bathroom and share that old Jeep and get back out here and do what God's called us to do. Visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord. See, I couldn't, I didn't have it, but I couldn't preach this a couple years ago when I first came because I'd never been here before. So I wouldn't come back to see how you're doing, but I am this time. That'd be the title tonight. How you doing? How you doing? That's what Paul says. He's gonna visit the cities where they preach the word of the Lord and see how they do. Now, here's something that's common. Here's something that's real common, at least in the church. We're on the road from Maine to Miami, Los Angeles, up in, I was in a, I did a men's retreat 100 miles north of Boise, Idaho 2 months ago. I mean, coast to coast, people are different, and a lot of things are different, but saved people got something in common. And what I like about being saved, what I continue to marvel about, is different as we are, because of that, because of the Lord, because of the blood, because of that book, folks that don't even know each other, personally, man, we're like kindred in like major ways. And I just marvel at that. I think that's really cool. One of the things that seems to be pretty common, it, like I say, from one end of the country to the other, is this right here. We often greet each other with this saying, how you doing? Amen. We do that. I mean, all over the country, that's pretty, at least in the church, that's pretty common. And we usually answer, respond to that with doing all right. Amen. And if you're saved, you're doing all right. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not being honest, if you say you're doing all right and you're battling cancer or you've got some great trial, because you may, in this life, in the temporal, listen, we all have problems, and if we don't, I hate to say this, but if we don't, we probably will have. Okay, I see how we're going to have. Okay, how's that? And but in the long view, if your sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ, amen, you're doing all right. Some people, you don't say, how you doing, to, unless you have a chair to pull up, because they'll tell you in detail for a long time. Some people, we learn to identify them, too, and I'm watching you guys. We learn to identify, and if you fall in that category, instead of saying, how you doing, we'll just say, hi. Hello. I won't ask. But that's what Paul, hey, that's what it says he's going to do, is visit these churches and say, how you doing? And that's my message tonight. How you doing? Are you doing all right? Are you doing all right? And of course, I'm going to give you some areas, a couple places to, you know, within the quietness of your own spirit, ask yourself that question and see if you're doing all right. And if not, well, praise the Lord. You can do something about it. Amen? All right, let's pray again. Oh, Father, I love you tonight. And I thank you for the privilege to stand here. God, I thank you for answering so many prayers to get us here from Ohio. And Lord, I just pray that you would have just the ability to move in our midst, in the corridors of our heart, this night and for these next 10 days. And Lord God, may we get something and that your spirit can bear witness to make us better Christians and better testimony in a lost and dying world and more pleasing to you, Lord God, as we not just sing about and pray about, Lord, we look for your return. But God, may you find us faithful when you do come back. So help us, give us something these next few days that will make us vessels, more meat for the Master's use than we are right now. That's our desire. That's our purpose of being here, besides just taking every opportunity we can to thank you for your kindness, your grace, your love and mercy. Father, tonight, please meet with us, and we'll thank you for that. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. All right, let me give you a couple things here. Take your Bible, go to Hebrews chapter 12. How you doing tonight? Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. Hebrews 12 verse 1, the Bible says this. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, he's referring to chapter 11, it says, let us lay aside every weight. Those are things that slow us down. And the sin which doth so easily beset us, and we got them, and we don't all have the same one, but we all got something, and you better identify where your weaknesses are. Amen. And that's where you better put up a hedge. That's where you better be sober, be vigilant. That's where you better be on the watch, because it says, doth so easily beset us. And it goes on and says this, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So, number one tonight, we're talking about how you doing. So let me ask you, how you doing at running your race? How you doing at running your race? We have a race set before us. Amen. Your race is, well, we got a lot in common, but it is specific. Paul finished his course. His course wasn't the same as mine or the same as yours. And what God's called you to do and has asked you to do might be different than someone else, but he's asked us all to do something. Right. Amen. So let me ask something. How you doing at running your race? Are you doing all right? Are you doing all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 tonight. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and let me see here. I got verse 24. Paul's talking to this church in Corinth, and he's giving them a comparison. He wants to make a point, but he's giving them a comparison to something that they can understand, which the Lord did. The book of Proverbs does that a lot. Amen. And it says this, know ye not. He's talking to some believers, and he says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So he's talking about a race, and they all know what he's talking about. And, amen, well, I don't know what kind of race it was that they'd have been familiar with at that point in time in Corinth. Probably a foot race of some sort. Might have been a horse race for all I know. Amen. But he says this, and he makes this point, and he puts them on the spot by letting them know that of course you know that anybody that signs up for a competition of any sort does it with the goal, with the intention, with the purpose of winning. Or why else would you even get involved? And it says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. Amen. People are competing with each other, and there's one winner. And he gets the plastic trophy that accumulates in the attic and doesn't mean anything in a year. But boy, they give it all they've got for that prize. And he says to the Christians, he's made that comparison. And then he says to them, so run that ye may obtain. So run. What is he talking about? He said, know ye not that they which run in a race run all. And that's what he's telling them to do. Run all. Run with all you've got. Amen. How you doing tonight at running your race? Are you running with all you've got? Maybe you didn't think of it that way, but you entered when you got saved. Listen, are you still running? The thing about being saved by grace is that you can be eternally secure, and you are if you're saved, and you cannot be running your race. Amen. And you need to be, because we haven't heard, there's no checkered flag at the finish line, but there's a trumpet, there's a savior, there's a well done to be coveted. And I'm going to say to you that you can be saved and not be running like you should. I want to encourage you to get back in the race if you're not. How are you doing tonight at running your race? Are you running with all you got? Amen. You know what's neat about this? We're not in competition with each other. We're not trying to outdo one another. The prize that we're talking about isn't awarded to just one at the finish line. If you're saved tonight, you're already on the winning side. So you can run with all you got without looking to see where you are in position with the other runners. You can just keep your eyes focused on Jesus Christ. You can give it all you got for the glory of God. That's the race you want to be in right there. You know why? Because you can't lose. But he says, run all. They run all. He says, so run. Amen. Let me ask something. How you doing at running your race? Now, here's something you know about races, any kind of race, I guess. They have rules. They have rules. We're not talking about free-for-alls here, whatever it is, whatever it might be. You know, there's going to be some rules. We were out west, Los Angeles, one time, and we got finished with the meeting. And we had some fellowship, we had an opportunity to go over to the preacher's house for some fellowship after the meeting. And they had a game they wanted to, they asked us if we ever played. And we had never heard of it. And so we went, and really it's for the fellowship. And we went, and it was just a board game. We had several kids, still with us then, and they showed us how to do it, and they taught us according to how they did it, and it was fun. It was good fellowship for a couple hours, and it was enjoyable. We got ourselves a game. On several other opportunities, we introduced other people to it as we sat around with some fellowship time, and we taught them to play it the way we were taught. And everything was fine till we went home. And then one of our best friends, who's now my pastor, that's convenient. He was assistant then, but now he's the pastor. Him and his family, we wanted to get together for some fellowship, but they had heard of the game. They had played the game. They even had their own game. So we thought, well, cool, we don't have to teach them. We came, wherever we got together, I think it was our house, everything went real fine. I had my strategy in place, and I went to make my little move, and the brother's wife, dear sister, I can't believe she did this to me. She said, Brother Spurgeon, you can't do that. And I went, what? Well, yeah, this is the way. No, that's not. You can't move is not allowed. Who ever knew I was ever going to run into somebody that actually reads the directions? But there she had to pull them out, and the next thing you know, and I just got to tell you, with all of a sudden, because we weren't all going by the same rules, it wasn't near as much fun, because mostly I found out I was wrong so often. But we're talking about the Christian life. We're talking about running our race, amen, with patience for the glory of Jesus Christ. And is it good tonight that we can all be going by the same rules? Thank God tonight that the King James Bible is indeed our final authority. Amen. Let me see, how's that go? All matters of faith and practice. Amen. Games have rules. Races have rules. Listen, we're in a race, and we're in a race for the glory of Jesus Christ, and we're not making it up as we go. We're just trying to live by the rules. I mean, here, let me give you a real brief example. The grace of God which bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's pretty simple. Amen. It's not subjective. It's not up to, well, I don't see it that way. Yeah, you don't see it that way because you don't want to. Because it's right there in black and white. I like that. This isn't a private interpretation thing. Amen. That's why I'm just telling you, I like that. I appreciate the fact that we've got a race where we're not in competition. Amen. We got a race where we got the rules. We got the rules. Okay, we disagree. All right, let's see what the Bible says. And if everybody's willing to say, oh, okay, I see that, I'll change. I will conform to his word. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you got, here, it's that simple. Either you get conformed to the word. That's what transforms the mind right there. That book. You either get transformed by the word, or you really have no choice than to be conformed to the world. That's the secret. Amen. Thank God. Listen, I watched a race in high school, a track event. No, I was not a competitor. I didn't run cross country. Amen. And I don't even know why I was there in the stands. I got an idea. But anyway, here they are all lined up in their little cute little shorts and yuck. And they're lined up and they're going to run. I think it was a 440 something. And the little starter phony pistol went off and these guys took off running. And they're pacing themselves and stuff. And they go around and then they go around. And I noticed that, you know, they'd all trained and they'd all sacrifice because they wanted to win and they were in shape and everything. But as the course of this race kept going, some of them started to lag behind. That's the way it is. And even the top runners, boy, I noticed that by that last lap, they were kind of dragging too. And they were like slowing down and they were looking at each other. And because I'm sitting up there, I'm going, man, is anybody even gonna finish? They all look like they're going to drop. I was getting tired just watching them. Something happened, though, and I remember this, and it's long before I was saved, long before I ever saw anything in the Bible about a race. But I noticed this, and something seemed to happen as they came around that last turn, and the finish line came into view. There were several of these guys, three or four of them. And I mean, half a lap prior, they, like I say, they were lagging and dragging. And I was even wondering if they were going to make it. But something, when they came around that last turn and that finish line begun to come into view, I'll tell you what, they reached down from within themselves somewhere. I don't know where they got the strength, but they not only finished, they picked up the pace. I'm tell you what, before they got to that finish line, they started sprinting. That's the word. They're sprinting. And there, and I was surprised at that. But see, they had their eye on the prize. Could I tell you that the finish line is coming into view? I mean, I don't watch television. I don't advocate that kind of thing. But wherever you get your news from, whether it's a computer, the radio, or the TV, I'm telling you what, every single thing to me points to the fact that the finish line is coming into view. Beloved, don't be surprised if the Lord comes back before this meeting's over. Now, here's what that means. It's not time to let up. It's not time to slow down. It's sure enough not time to quit. And I understand it says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Listen, if you got to rest or something, if you got to pace yourself or something, but I'm going to tell you what, it ain't time to quit.
Amen.
Time to run all with all we got, according to the rules. Amen. Finish line's coming into view. Let me ask something tonight. How you doing at running your race? Are you doing all right? Are you doing all right? I hope so. Hope so. Something to think about. Paul said there in Acts 15:36, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word and see how they do. Let me ask you another question. How are you doing tonight at resisting the devil? How are you doing? Take your Bible, go to James 4. How you doing at resisting the devil? Bible said this in verse number 7, familiar verse. I'm confident of that, most of you. Some of you in here, I'd do well to sit under your preaching, and I'd be the first one to admit that. Some of you have been in the Bible, you've been taught right, you've been studying a long time. I didn't come here to bring you something new. I didn't come there to pretend to bring you some new revelation. God forbid, because if I did, it'd be heresy. But I'm going to try to give you not even my slant, God forbid, but say some things about some verses that you're well familiar with, maybe in a way that the Spirit of God can bear witness to, like Brother already said, maybe in a different way. Amen. The Bible says out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. Amen. Verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I remember as a young Christian being in a service one time, and a precious saint of God, lady been saved a long time, and I knew she knew the scriptures. I'm not being critical of her. But I remember she raised her hand, and it was testimony time, and the preacher called on her, and she said that. She said that she was going through something just like, hey, man, if you're in this race, you're going to go through some stuff. She said, Pastor, I resist the devil, and he doesn't flee from me. Now, I didn't know where the verses were. I had heard it. I had heard it said, I had heard it preached, I knew it was in the Bible somewhere. I was just at that stage in my Christian life where I was being taught that the King James Bible is the inerrant, inspired Word of God. Therefore, you can trust it. Therefore, everything in it's right. So when this lady, who I knew that for many, many, many years, said, I resist the devil and he doesn't flee from me, I thought to myself, how can that be? How can that be? I know that the Bible says somewhere that if you resist him, he'll flee. So I went home and I searched until I found the verse. And that back when you actually had to have a Strong's Concordance. Amen. You couldn't Google it. How did that become a verb is what I'd like to know. Google that. I don't even like the sound of that. Amen. I found the verse in James 4, and I found, well, in my mind, I thought this could be the reason. Because the verse begins with these words, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. So when I ask you how you doing at resisting the devil, I'm going to tell you tonight. I'm going to tell you on the authority of the Word of God. If you're not submitted to God, you're not doing very well. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not saying you're not a wonderful person. You might be a faithful, giving church member. But I'm telling you something tonight. God's given us a book. God's given us a method. It's called preaching. God's given us the Holy Spirit to bear witness to His Word. And if you ignore what God's given you, I'm telling you tonight, you're not doing as well as you think. Not resisting the devil. He's patient. As a roaring lion, remember that? Yeah, I read a book about lions. They're real patient. They'll lay in the tall grass and look at whatever it is they've chosen to have for dinner that night. Somebody had the, what do lions eat? Whatever they want, as far as I can tell. Yeah, and they're very patient. And when they decided to go, they're going to get what they went after. And that Bible says the devil is compared to a roaring lion in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 that folks are taken captive by him at his will. I'm asking you tonight. I appreciate you in church on a Friday night, but I'm asking you to ask yourself, no show of hands, amen. Don't email me later. How you doing tonight at resisting the devil? Let me say it again. If you're not submitted to God, if there's areas, if there's something in your life that God's dealing with you about, and for some reason you're not getting that thing right, I'm here to tell you tonight, the devil is watching. And if you want anything from the Lord this week, this night, any night, if God is already bearing witness to something going on in your life, you better get that right. Why would you expect him to give you anything more? Amen. If you're not submitted to what he's already bearing witness to in your life. Amen. Don't wait till the last day. Amen. If you know what it is, get it right tonight. You'll have more fun. Besides, I'll be begging God to show me something else to get you with. Amen. That didn't get a very much of an amen. Amen. How you doing in resisting the devil? You know, the next verse here, it says, draw nigh to God. And he might. No. It says he will. And every time you see a statement like that in the Bible, mark it down. When God says he will, he will. And usually a lot of these things always begin with something is it's up to us to make the first move. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. I draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Now we're talking about resisting the devil. We're talking about submitting to God. I want to give you a thought. Consider the possibility, and this isn't a doctrinal statement, it's just what I just said it was. Something to consider. If you're not drawing nigh to God, if your purpose for being here this night or this week isn't to get something that'll help you get closer to the Lord or to get some victory maybe over some things you're struggling with. Listen, I'm not talking about sinless perfection. We all struggle, but you're supposed to be struggling. The Bible says the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. It is a two-way battle. So, I want to say to you that I want you to consider the possibility that if you're not endeavoring to draw nigh to God, well, think about this. Think about the devil might be drawing nigh to you. If you're not getting closer to God, why isn't the devil getting closer to you? Well, it says in Job chapter 1 and chapter 2, it says that he walketh about to and fro on the earth. Amen?
Yeah.
He's on the move, man. He's not sitting somewhere on some throne. He's not down there in hell. He's up here, man. And he's the God of this world, and he's wreaking havoc.
Yeah. Right.
He's wrecking. Hey, man. It says, be sober, 1 Peter 5, 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because you're adversary. Not our. Amen. And he's our adversary as believers in Jesus Christ. He is. Peter could have wrote, be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary, and based on other verses, there would have been no doubt. Well, it's clarified in the verse, the devil. But I find the wording important. Your. I'm going to tell you what, when you got a personal, when you got saved, you didn't get religion. You entered into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I ain't got over it yet. I wake up amazed almost daily. Yeah, I'm like everybody else. Sometimes I get up and I just take all this for granted, and I don't have to go very far before the Lord reminds me that the only thing I got going good for me in any way, shape, or form in my life is Jesus Christ. And I'm glad He does. Amen. But I want you to consider that the day you entered into a personal relationship with the Lord of glory, you entered into a personal relationship with the devil. He put his sights on you because he knows that you can't lose your salvation, but he'll go after your testimony. He'll go after your children. He'll go after your church. He'll do everything he can to cause a lost and dying world to say, see, they're no different than we are. I know it. It's all going to come out at the judgment seat of Christ. But I'm going to tell you what, he's doing damage down here. It's not going to come out at the judgment seat of Christ, because a whole lot of people aren't going to be at the judgment seat of Christ if he has his way with the church of Jesus Christ. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, as he's not, he's a mocker, he's an imitator. He's not a roaring lion. He's going to meet one day. Amen. As a roaring lion walketh about. He's on the move. He is on the move in Job, and he's on the move in Peter out of your Bible. And you know what that tells you? He's been on the move ever since. Walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That's not a pretty sight. I was somewhere, Walmart, something, Animal Channels on this wall of flat screens. And man, I saw, I don't know, I think it was an alligator devour some big old bird. Now I was rooting for the alligator. I thought it was really cool. It's a guy thing. But I'm going to tell you what, I wouldn't have wanted to have been the bird. How you doing tonight at resisting the devil? He's still subtle. He has devices, plural. It says we're not to be ignorant of them. Amen. He's still a liar. Amen. He's the author of pride and confusion and doubt and discord. You mark it down. That's why it says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Only problem is what we do wrestle against in Ephesians 6 is invisible. You know what that crowd gets us to do? Wrestle with what we can see. Each other. Our preacher. Our parents. Our children. And that devil and his crowd, they're back there laughing. Said, look at God. You gave him the book, and I can still have my heyday with them. Well, I don't want to be in that number. Amen. I want to resist the devil. And I know that I'm no match for him. No problem there. You don't see Dave Burgett casting out no devils. My Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God. That's my goal. That's my desire. That's my intention. That's the Bible solution to the onslaught of the wicked one. Let me ask something tonight, church. How you doing at resisting the devil? Amen? Are you doing all right? How you doing in running your race? I mean, I've reminded somebody tonight that you're in a race. Amen. It's not like, all right, here we are, the church that meets in Jesus' name. Let's pick out our best runners. No. If you're saved, you're one of them. We're in this together. Amen. All right. Let me see. Number three. Take your Bible. Go to Psalm 60. Psalm 60. How you doing tonight? Are you doing all right? Verse 4. Psalm 60. In verse number 4. And the Bible says this. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Selah. Thou hast given a banner. A banner. Banner's got a purpose. That it may be displayed because of the truth. Amen. If you're saved, it's because somebody cared about you enough to tell you the truth. It says in John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. Let me tell you something tonight, Christian. Your banner is your personal testimony as a child of God. That's not on Sunday and Wednesday and 10 days in January. That's every day. That's every school, work, neighborhood, family reunion. That's your banner. It is to be displayed because you got in on the truth. You found out, you got a hold of the fact that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And you might have made a million mistakes like I did. But one day, amen, you are smart enough to get saved. And there's a responsibility that comes with that. And you've got a testimony that you've got to. Well, you've got to take more seriously than some folks do. I'll put it like that. Let me say this about a banner. A banner is to be displayed. It even says that in the verse. Amen. I come home one time, years ago now, 15, 16 years ago, and we came home. We had four kids in a old Greyhound bus that we converted, and we're coming home back up to Dayton, Ohio, and I went by the fire station out in the community where we live, and man, I mean, there's a flag on a flagpole, and the flag is faded, and the flag is shredded and torn and ripped, and I just got to tell you, man, that bothered me. I would say it offended me. I'm going to tell you what, man, that is the most overused word in the English language these days. I was offended. How come nobody's allowed to be offended except us? Okay, that's for another time. I saw that flag and I looked at it and there was no problem with me. I got home and I got on the phone. And this is when the phone had a cord to it and right off the wall. I know. Wow, how old are you? No. And I called, I found the number and in a phone book. And I called the fire department. I called the fire chief. And I told him who I was. And I said, whichever station it was that I had just driven by, I said, there's a flag up there that's disrespectful. Amen. And I said, I'm going to tell like it is. I'm going to be there in 5 minutes. And if it's not down, I'm taking it down. And I got in my car and I drove right back over to their fire department. And I was done. There's a guy out there taking it down. Amen. It better that the flagpole didn't have anything up there than a disrespectful banner. Well, how much more disrespectful is a Christian, somebody that claims the name of Jesus Christ and everything about their personal testimony, their habits, amen, their conduct is just as ragged and tattered as that old flag. It ought not so to be. It brings disrespect on Jesus Christ. We're so hung up on our rights. Well, I just think, well, that's the problem. We're supposed to glorify Christ. Isn't that what it says in 1 Corinthians 6? Where do we get any rights? Know ye not that you're bought with a price, that you're not your own. Yeah, I didn't pull that out of Psalms and try to spiritually apply it. Come on, man. How you doing? Raising your banner. Banners to be displayed. It's got to look good. Or it brings, well, the contrary to its purpose. Amen. A banner identifies something. When I was in the paratroopers and we would, I was overseas and they would bring in a general from Fort Bragg and they'd bring it over to our little battalion combat team in Italy. And buddy, we'd get out there on the parade field and they'd break down our companies in that battalion and they'd fly in the army band. They weren't that good, but I was a kid and I didn't know any better. I like tearing them. That stuff gets, I'm a patriot. Even when I was the biggest idiot out there, I still love that stuff. Amen. And buddy, when I was in Bravo Company, 1st Battalion, 509, Dearborn Infantry Battalion, combat team, and when we got on that parade field and had to walk by that reviewing stand, we wanted to look sharp. And that guy at the front of our company had a guide on, what's that? He had a little flagpole with a little pennant, and it said B/1/509. And we, boy, when we got in front of that reviewing stand, we were standing tall and trying to look sharp. And, amen, that banner identified who we were. We did not want to be confused with some other unit. And your testimony as a Christian, amen, as a King James Bible-believing, doctrinally sound, rightly dividing, amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's important, man. You shouldn't want to, listen, you shouldn't want to be confused with some other unit. I'm not talking about foolish pride. I'm not talking about that stuff. I'm talking about how in the world are we going to make a difference if people can't tell we're different? I don't know. That's just my thinking. Tell you something else about a banner. It's to be displayed. It's to identify something. A banner declares something. You know what? One of the verses that I got a hold of early on that I really identified with was Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, where Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." So that's how I got in. Yeah. I'm talking about level ground at the foot of the cross, thank God. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And I got looking at that verse, and I hadn't been saved very long, and I'm thinking, I wasn't ashamed to let people know what I loved. When I was lost, I rode around this country with on a Harley Davidson and a leather vest that had motorcycle colors sewed on the back, got it tattooed on me. I wasn't ashamed to let people know what I cared about, what I was willing to fight for, what I lived for, what I was willing to die for. That's just how a lot of humans are wired, not everybody. If you don't believe me, next time you go to Walmart, instead of wasting half a tank of gas to find a parking place by the door, you know what I'm talking about. Park about two-thirds of the way out. Get out your little smartphone. Say, Brother Spurgeon, you're not going to preach against smartphones, are you? No, I have one. Now I have a phone and a wife. Smarter than I am. Yeah, my kids say, but Dad, it does all that. It rings, hello, that's a... But you know how to use them. So park about two-thirds of the way out, and as you make your way out in toward the door, get your little phone out. Man, I'm glad I'm not a crook anymore, because everybody's got a phone in their hand. Everybody's got a video recorder in their hand. Get your little your phone camera out and take pictures of bumper stickers on the backs of cars on your way to the door. Then look at them later. And you know what you've just found out? And I mean, let's go with ball caps and t-shirts and jackets too. And you know what you find out? People aren't afraid, aren't ashamed to tell you what they love.
That's right.
Man, they stickers on brand new cars. Amen. I got one on that old Jeep. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. A banner declares something. Declares who you are. What you believe in. Amen.
Amen.
It says thou hast given. Let me see. Let me read it right. It says thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Amen. And a banner is to be displayed. And a banner identifies something. And a banner declares something. John chapter 10 and verse 27, Jesus Christ said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Amen. That's what the Lord said. And I want to say to you, if you're saved, your life ought to declare, your life ought to declare that you believe in and that you belong to and that you follow Jesus Christ. That's your responsibility. Amen. Let me ask you something tonight, church. How you doing? How you doing? I appreciate the good spirit. I appreciate you being here on Friday night. I know I'm going to see many of you all these nights. I understand that. But I'm preaching what the Lord told me to bring to you. And I'm asking you tonight, how you doing at running your race? There's more to it than going to church. There's millions of Americans that are more faithful in church than we are. And they're not even saved. How you doing at resisting the devil? You can be saved and spend your whole life and never experience the victory that God has for you because thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ. Man, some of us just spend our whole life. Man, I tell you what, I go to churches and pastors spend way too much time counseling. Not that they don't need to, but I'm going to tell you what, if we could just get some victory over the devil, maybe we could focus more effort into maybe, how about the next point? Maybe I'll wrap it up right here. How you doing at reaching others with the gospel of Jesus Christ? 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 16, Paul writes to Timothy and he says this, "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy." Are you saved there tonight? You obtained mercy. Yeah, oh yeah. And there's a purpose, a cause. "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." He's saying he obtained mercy for those that aren't saved yet. Lord left us here. Well, the cause is to reach a lost and dying world with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. So I'll finish it off with this right here. How you doing at reaching others with the gospel of your Savior? When's the last time you invited someone to church? Here's what we do. We get fired up. We get fired up and we'll knock doors or we'll get zealous at work or whatever the case may be. And we'll invite, and let's face it, people don't come. Oftentimes don't come. I go to many meetings and someone's standing by the door and I know what they're doing. When I get to go into church, they're standing there and they're looking because somebody promised that they would come. And oftentimes they don't. And you know what the problem is? Because of that reality, we quit. We quit inviting. I already tried. I already knocked doors in that neighborhood. If you guys do that, they didn't. Well, things change in people's life. Dynamics change in people's life. They go through things. People that weren't open to the gospel last year might be this year. I'll tell you something else. People move and new people move in. But we just use the excuse. Well, we tried that and it didn't work. That doesn't mean you stop trying. Here's what I've noticed. I've noticed this over and over. I've noticed it in our church. My wife will say, years and years ago, before I ever got saved, they knocked every door in the community around our church and got nothing. Nobody came. Nobody came. But you know what? Other people came. People from East Dayton came. People from the South Side, they would come. And the people that maybe they invited didn't come, but God will acknowledge your efforts, man. He'll send people. We had a lady 1 year, or years ago, we had a lady, and every prayer meeting night, brokenhearted, she would pray, ask for prayer for her brother, because he wasn't saved, and she was just so concerned for his soul, and all that's fine. But after a couple of years, she never had any other prayer requests, just for this brother. Finally, the pastor said, "Sis, why don't you get out there and invite and pray and witness to somebody else's brother and sister, and then ask God to send somebody to yours that he'll listen to, because he ain't listening to you. What are you saying, Brother Bernie? Let's get out of the rut, man. You got 10 days. Okay, 9. People say, well, we have our own church. Not on Monday. You're taking away all the excuses. Anybody that ever remotely insinuated that someday they might come to church with you, man, that's the guy to let them know they got a lot of days to choose from. When's the last time you had a good witness? Yeah, had a good witness. I mean, thank God we put a track in I put tracks in the bills, except the ones I'm late on. I try not to be late. I leave a track at the restaurant. Yeah, anyways, I'm an evangelist, so that's a lot of tracks right there. But listen, I'm talking about, I wonder what would happen if we asked the Lord, maybe at the beginning of the day, Lord, would you give me an opportunity to talk to somebody today? Could I give you something to read? That's easy. And hey, a lot of people don't do that. So if you do that, praise the Lord. I'm not taking away from that. But I wonder what would happen if we'd actually look for opportunities to say something for the Lord.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. You know, we got in our churches, and I'm talking about our churches. I'm talking about King James Bible-believing churches. We got people that used to bring people, used to invite, used to win people to Christ that haven't won anybody to Christ in years and years and years. Beloved, I'm here to tell you that it's a lie of the devil that all there is to serving Jesus Christ is coming to church a couple times a week. Might as well put a time clock in the foyer if that's all there is to being a Bible-believing Christian. Just clock in and clock out. There's a little more to it than that. How are you doing tonight at reaching others with the gospel? Amen. And I hope you get provoked to purpose in your heart, to make an effort to invite somebody. Maybe an effort to speak to somebody again that maybe you've talked to before. Things change in people's lives. It's amazing. How you doing at reaching others for Christ? He says, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. So this is the introduction to the meeting tonight. 4 areas in your life to consider. How you doing? How you doing at running your race? You know, I've calmed down, cooled off like so many, you know, now. But boy, when I first got saved, I was really excited. I was fired up all the time. And one of the brothers what he said was good. I don't know if the reason he said it was good, you know, probably making him look bad, old wet blanket, deadbeat. But he said, oh, Brother Spurgeon, you need to know that the Christian life isn't a 50-yard dash. It's a marathon. So he was telling me to slow down. But truth of the matter is, it is a marathon. Amen. But it's a race. And maybe we need to learn to pace ourselves a little bit. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what, the goal ought to be to finish. Amen. There's no rest areas. There's no place to stop and park and let. So often we're letting somebody else do it all. God's got something for everybody. And it's not all the same thing, but he's got something for everybody. Man, I'll tell you what, maybe the thing that keeps serving the Lord exciting is I'm looking for what he wants me to do. Keep me fired up. How you doing tonight? How you doing in those areas? How you doing at resisting the devil? I guarantee you, he don't like what's going on here tonight. Good. I don't like him either. Amen? Let's submit ourselves to God, submit ourselves to the preaching, the Word of God. Amen? And not just a week to come. This is nothing. I'm talking about get a hold of something to carry us through till the trumpet blows. Could be tomorrow anyway. Could be tonight. Amen. So let's resist the devil. And let's reevaluate our testimony. And if there's some areas that need some, well, need some attention, let's give them some attention. Amen. There might be somebody that you need to go say, you know what? This is really hard. But might be somebody you need to go through and say, you know what? I apologize about something. I mean, for the sake of Jesus Christ and your testimony as a child of God. And I know the flesh hates that. But you need to do whatever you need to do to maintain a testimony for. Don't be an excuse for people rejecting Christ. There's probably some of that going to go on. I don't want my name coming up at the great white throne as somebody's reason. Amen. Well, Spurgeon claimed to be a Christian and he just lived like everybody else most of the time. I don't want my name coming up like that. Alright. And how are you doing at reaching others? If you're doing well on all these areas, any of these areas, praise the Lord, keep it up. But if there's one or more that you're not happy with the answer, well, you know what's cool about this thing? You can do something about it. And it's not magic and it's not instant. It's personal between you and the Lord. But you can, listen, I know this stuff's not easy sometimes. So get God in on helping you. Ask God to help you. Boy, there are so many things that I used to have to beg God to help me with. You can imagine. I came into this life, Christian life, with so many bad habits and wrong thinking. And there's things I used to ask God about all the time, and he gave me victory. Now I just have a different list. I find that I need him more than ever, not less. Amen. Maybe there's something tonight you need Lord's help with. Well, then, get the Lord's help. He's not the one playing hard to get this night or this coming week. Let's do business with God. Amen. Let's let it be real. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to get out of the way. If you're in here tonight and you're not saved, and I'm not talking about being a good person, and I'm not talking about any of that. If you're not scripturally born again, you might be doing very well in every area of your life, but if you're not saved, you're not doing well at all. And that's what can be so easily addressed. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. David said, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. And I got no better way to say it or even think about it than this right here. If the Lord Jesus Christ can save somebody like me, I tell you what, I would have never been in a church on a Friday night. He can save you, and he wants to, and he can use you, and he'll bless you, and you better let him while you can. Preacher?